One in 10 of the mammal species that were around when cats first arrived in Australia are now extinct. Yes, feral cats are a big problem in Australia. We've known that for a while. According to Federal Environment Minister Tanya Plibersek, every single night cats kill about 6 million animals across the country. As of right now, feral cats continue to drive population decline and regional extinctions of susceptible species. But there is hope. A 10-year plan from the Federal Environment Ministry is currently being drafted and open for public consultation. Biodiversity Council member Professor John Wernaski from Charles Darwin University is one of Australia's leading wildlife ecologists. As a research scientist, he has led many of Australia's key studies into understanding and managing the impacts of cats on susceptible Australian species. He contributed to the development of the new draft Threat Abatement Plan to manage the impact of feral cats on Australian wildlife. Professor John Wernaski is on the line this morning. Good morning, Professor.
Morning, Janae.
First of all, how much of a threat are feral cats to native wildlife?
They're a really profound threat to many Australian animals, and they occur so extensively across almost all of Australia and have impacts on so many different sorts of animals that collectively their impact is catastrophic, if you pardon the pun.
Yeah.
Obviously they're not the only factor affecting mm-hmm. Australian wildlife. We've still got land clearing, we've still got rabbits, we've still got weeds, we've still got forestry, climate change and the like. But feral cats alone are a really significant contributor to the extinctions and declines of Australian biodiversity.
Is there anywhere in the country that does not have a feral cat issue?
Happily, there are some places, and those places are really important for the conservation of Australian wildlife. There are some islands that cats have never arrived at or been introduced to, and the biodiversity of those islands is still largely intact. There are other islands where cats have occurred or been introduced but have subsequently been eradicated through really targeted campaigns, and those islands now are really important as well. And then there are some mainland areas that have been fenced to exclude cats. And in many cases, locally extinct mammals have been reintroduced to those fenced areas and are now prospering. But collectively, those islands that have never had cats, those islands from which cats have been eradicated and those fenced areas, they make up only about 0.1% of Australian landmass.
Wow.
Cats occur almost everywhere, pervasively across Australia.
I've been thinking about it. I've understood that feral cats are an issue for a long time, and there seems to have been some ad hoc kind of approaches to eradicating them or limiting their effect. It's not just the predatory work that they do, because they can kill small creatures, but they also cause disease, don't they?
Yeah, indeed. Those diseases affect not only Australian wildlife, but also livestock, particularly sheep. And humans as well can be affected by diseases that would not occur in Australia were it not for cats. Cats are a primary host of diseases such as toxoplasmosis, which can have devastating impacts on humans, wildlife and livestock. So toxoplasmosis, for example, is if a pregnant woman is infected by a cat or by picking up cat feces or gardening where cats have toileted, there's a high chance of her child being stillborn or the child subsequently having major deformities. So toxoplasmosis also can increase risk behaviour in humans. It's a really strange disease or strange cause of disease that can affect people and wildlife in very many different ways. And it wouldn't be in Australia were it not for cats. And if cats were eradicated from Australia, the disease would also not occur in Australia.
Tell me the major parts of the plan, Professor. Do we want to eradicate cats completely?
It's a really complex challenge. And as you said, you know, we've been trying to work on cat control for many decades now. In some cases successfully, in some cases it's been futile. But the plan is mainly focused on feral cats, but also includes the pet cat component, which we can talk about later if you like.
Mm-hmm.
The feral cat component is mostly targeting those Australian wildlife species which are most susceptible to cat and cannot co-occur with any level of cat occurrence. So we're trying to protect those species, wildlife species in particular, through things like translocations of them to populations of them to islands or to fenced enclosures. So they're really important components of the plan. They're sort of the ones that are most urgent to address. Across larger areas of Australia, we want to reduce cat populations through things like better management of the land, better fire regimes, less stresses through livestock, grazing and the like. We can do that extensively. It's not sort of a fail-safe method. We can't eradicate cats with better land management, but we can improve the chances of wildlife species persisting in those environments. There's also in cases where it's important to, and we get good results from broad-scale poison baiting, and that can reduce the cat population such that native animals that can withstand small numbers of cats can persist in the landscape. The component relating to pet cats are much more manageable, obviously, than feral cats.
Mm-hmm.
It's largely a matter of changing human behaviours and attitudes, which can be a formidable task, but it's at least much easier than trying to control feral cats in the wild. So the main instruments or objectives for the management of pet cats is to ensure that they're de-sexed, to get Australia-wide sort of collaboration in the way we're managing pet cats to ensure responsible pet cat ownership. So through things like de-sexing, mm-hmm. containment of the cats within the owner's house or property, and capping the number of pet cats allowed per household. And pet cats, the population of pet cats in Australia is probably larger than the population of feral cats.
Right.
And pet cats alone, our estimate is that they're killing about 1 million Australian animals per day or per day night, per 24-hour period. So they're having a really substantial toll on wildlife. And we think it's better to manage pet cats such that you and your neighbours can share the beauty of wildlife in your gardens and local parks and the like. And that can be achievable if pet cats are responsibly managed.
If we're talking about 1 million creatures, are we talking about everything from small birds to sheep, as you mentioned before?
Sheep are not typically targets of cat predation. Sheep are affected mainly through
the toxic
transmission of disease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but pet cats are remarkably agile and effective hunters, and they can take anything in size from sort of a small sort of ladybird-sized beetle up to a wallaby, almost the same size,
wow,
same weight as the cat itself, up to about 4 kilograms. And they'll eat invertebrates, lizards, snakes, birds, frogs, mammals, all sorts of things. They're really effective hunters. You know, there's much to admire about cats. They're wonderfully adaptable in the environment. They've succeeded in all sorts of strange places across a really broad range of climates, and they're really good hunters. They're effective predators. So they've made their home very effectively in Australia. It's a difficult challenge to try to combat that.
For those of us who grew up with the Flintstones cartoon and the gag about putting your cat out at night, I think largely the cultural understanding has changed and that people will bring their creatures in. Who did you consult as part of making this plan?
We consulted widely, and we made a particular effort to try to consult with Indigenous landowners and ranger groups and other bodies, Indigenous bodies, because so much of Australia is managed by Aboriginal people and in Indigenous ranger groups,
mm-hmm.
and much of that area is has really high biodiversity values, and Indigenous people have, in some areas, are really good at managing, controlling cats through hunting and through land management. So that was a major focus of our consultation. But we also consulted broadly across a range of stakeholder groups, including there's a National Feral Cat Task Force, which has representatives of all the state agencies.
I'm chatting with Professor John Wonoski from Charles Darwin University about protecting endangered wildlife. What can we do to help, John?
Oh, look, we can all help. I think particularly those who own pet cats or can influence people that own pet cats to be as responsible as possible about the ownership of those cats. And keeping cats indoors or contained within cat runs is actually not only good for wildlife, it's good for the cat itself, for its health. It will live longer, it will have fewer diseases, and it will be less likely to pass diseases on to the cat owners. So pet cat owners are a really important part of the solution to this problem. But it's also, I guess, about, as a society, the extent to which we value our native wildlife and the extent to which we're not prepared to put up with ongoing extinctions and declines in wonderful wildlife. And we can all influence that by restoring habitat, by agitating for more resources into cat management, and to contributing for reducing the other stresses on many of these animal species which are affected by cats. It's a complex problem, but we're all part of the solution, I think, and we should all recognise that cats have no place in the broader Australian natural environment.
Thanks for joining us this morning, John.
Yeah, great. Thanks very much for the opportunity, Jana.
That was Professor John Wonoski from Charles Darwin University. There is a 10-year feral cat plan. You can find out more online. And I'm sure if you've got a beloved little cat or two, that you'd appreciate looking after our biodiversity.